We come now to our second scripture reading from the second letter of Peter. This is in chapter 3, verses 1 through the first part of verse 15. It starts on page 237 of your pew Bibles, and I invite you again to hear the word of God. Peter writes, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you. In them I am trying to arouse your sincere intention by reminding you that you should remember the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken through your apostles. First of all, you must understand this, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and indulging their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since our ancestors died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' They deliberately ignore this fact, that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago, and an earth was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world of that time was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the godless. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for a new heavens and new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the other week, I read an article about a town in Norway that wants to ban time. They want to do away with the concept of time. It's an island way up in northern Norway, north of the Arctic Circle, where for over 2 months every summer, from May 18th to July 26th, the sun never sets. It is daytime, 24 hours a day, for over 2 months. And in the winter, there are over 2 months where the sun never rises. It is nighttime, 24 hours a day. And what the residents there say is that because of this, time is irrelevant. People go out for bike rides at 10:30 at night. Kids are playing soccer or going swimming at 2 in the morning. People are out mowing their lawns at 4 a.m. There's a bridge that leads to this island, and all along the rails of the bridge, people have taken off their wristwatches and fastened them to the rails as a way of showing that when they go to this island, they are leaving behind their concept of time. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of questions about this. Like, how do you know when to go to school or work? How do you know when the grocery store is open if you need to go get something? If you call and schedule a doctor's appointment, how will you know when to go? How would we know when worship begins? Well, the residents of this town say, we do what we want, when we want to do it. We eat when we're hungry, we go to bed when we're tired. They say children still have to go to school, but there's room for flexibility. No one uses fixed times when making plans, they just say, see you later. And as crazy as this seems to me, at least, the residents say that this move away from time has greatly improved their quality of life. One resident said, all over the world, people are characterized by stress and depression. In many cases, this can be linked to the feeling of being trapped, of not having enough time. Here, we have all the time we want. This is hard for a lot of us to imagine because we are so bound to time that it's hard to fathom a world without it. But according to the residents of this island, there is a great freedom and peace that comes with letting go of time. For the past 3 weeks, we've been working through this series on the fruit of the Spirit from Paul's letter to the Galatians, where Paul says that if you are living your life according to the Spirit of God, if you are desiring the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh, the things of the world, then your life will be characterized by love, joy, and peace. This week, Paul adds to that patience. And patience is all about time. It's about letting go of our ordering of time, our insistency upon time, and trusting God to provide what we need precisely when we need it. The Bible has two different ways of talking about time. There is chronos time. Chronos is a Greek word for time. It's where we get the word chronological, which means things are arranged in order by the time that they happen. So chronos time is ordered time. It deals with set numbers, dates, and order. It's the way that we are used to thinking about time. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. What time does worship start? 9:30. What time is it over? 10:30. That is chronos time. You know when something begins, when it ends, it is set and certain. But there's another Greek word for time that's used in Scripture, kairos. Kairos doesn't deal with set minutes, hours, dates, and times. It's more about the opportune moment, when the time feels right. When is dinner time? When is dinner time? 6? 6:30. 6:30? 5? 7? Some people, 8? In some countries, 9 o'clock, right? Whenever you're hungry. When is bedtime? 8, 9, 10, 1, you know, for some people, midnight, 1 a.m., and that may differ from night to night. It's whenever you're tired. A good way to think about these two understandings of time is like this. How long is a football game? There are 4 15-minute quarters. That's 2 30-minute halves. That's 60 minutes. That is chronos time. It is set and certain. You know that they are playing football for 60 minutes. How long is a baseball game? 9 innings, right? With no set time limit. That inning may last an hour. It may last 10 minutes. You play until it's over. That is kairos time. Human beings tend to live mostly in chronos time. And it can be said that God lives mostly in kairos time. And we see this when we look at today's scripture reading from Peter's second letter. Now, these Christians that Peter was writing to 2,000 years ago were absolutely convinced that Christ was going to return in their lifetime, that they were going to see this happen. Well, it wasn't happening. And the people around them, the non-Christians around them, start laughing at them, scoffing and mocking them, saying, "Where's your Savior? I thought he was going to return. You keep saying he's coming, but where is he? Did he forget? Did he break his promise?" And Peter says to that, God does not adhere to our understanding of time. What seems like an eternity to us may only be a day to God. It's not that God is slow, he says. It's that God is patient. God is working towards something here. And if it's not happening fast enough for us, well, I'm sorry, Peter says, but God doesn't adhere to our time frame. God doesn't work on our schedules. Everything's going to happen right when God needs it to happen, at the opportune time. In the meantime, Peter says, until it does happen, be at peace and grow in grace and live in ways that are righteous so that when it does happen, you'll be ready. He's saying, you're thinking about all of this in Chronos time from your perspective, but God is working in Kairos time, so you have to open yourself up and look at it from God's perspective. When we can do that, when we can look at time and life and other people from God's perspective, you're practicing patience. When you're stuck in traffic behind someone who is going way too slow, you are in a hurry, you need to get somewhere, and this person is holding you back. It is easy to get frustrated, angry, and impatient. But what if that person in front of you is just on their way back from work where he's found out that he lost his job? Or she's driving back from the hospital where she's in the process of losing her husband of 6 years. And they've got a few things weighing on them. Or you're in a restaurant and the service is just horrible. The waitress has messed up your order. She's not refilling drinks. You've been waiting forever. It is easy to get impatient, complain to the manager. But what if that waitress just found out that her mother has cancer? She's a little distracted right now. And what if the fact that you got slowed down in traffic or had to wait a little bit longer in the restaurant means that you don't get into that car accident that you would have gotten into if you'd been on time? What if the patience of the Lord was your salvation? And what if your patience is what saves that person? If it's just what they need to get through this moment. Patience is about letting go of our insistency upon time. When things happen, how fast they should happen, and opening ourselves up to a bigger picture and understanding of God's time. And here's the thing about patience. We don't just pray for patience and say, God, I want to become a more patient person, and boom, God makes us patient. That's not how this works. God doesn't just give us patience. God gives us opportunities to become patient, to learn how to be patient, opportunities to practice slowing down and looking at this bigger picture, opportunities to see things from someone else's perspective and to see things from God's perspective. So maybe you've been waiting for something and it's just not happening. It's taking too long, and you are growing impatient and frustrated. But maybe God is doing something that you just can't see yet. And this is an opportunity for you to become patient. What would it look like for you to take that opportunity and learn from it? Ecclesiastes says that for everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven, that there are appropriate times in our lives for certain things to happen, to be born, to die, to plant, to harvest, to laugh, to cry, to mourn, to dance. And just an aside here, as Bruce was reading it, I heard something that I'd never heard before. The line where it says, a time to gather stones together and to throw stones away, and as long as I've been reading this, I never understood what that meant. Why is there a time to gather stones together? And why is there a time to throw stones away? Until I became a parent, and we would go through our kids' backpacks after school, and there would just be rocks in their backpacks. Like, why is your backpack so heavy? And it's just weighed down by rocks that they found in the yard or in the schoolyard and thought, this is a cool rock, I'm going to keep this and put it in their backpack. And then we say, okay, it's time to get rid of these rocks. So even that, there is a time to gather stones together, and there is a time to throw stones away. There is a rhythm in our lives. God has created an ordered system. There's a time for everything that needs to be done. Now, that may mean that now is not the time to do this thing. Sometimes we have things in our lives that we want to happen, but God may be saying, now is not the time for that. This is not the season in your life for that. I need to do something else right now. That is going to have to wait. It says that God has put a sense of past and future into our minds. God has given us an understanding and an awareness of time, but even with that, we can't understand what God has done from the beginning until now. We can't see that big picture. So while we may want something to happen right now, we can't see how that thing happening will affect everything else in our lives. We can't see how it will affect other people's lives, how it will affect God's larger purposes for the world. God has created a time for everything. And the challenge for us is being able to see that, because God's timing is not always our timing. We practice patience with ourselves and with others by letting go of our insistency on when things should happen and how fast they should happen, opening ourselves up to this bigger picture and trusting that God is leading us through this so that what needs to happen will happen when it should happen. There will always be anxiety that comes with that. I need this to happen right now and it's taking too long. Patience means that we trust in God's timing for our lives to the point that we can be okay with the anxiety of waiting, because we know that God is good and will get us exactly where we need to be. Let us pray. I give you thanks, O Lord, for your patience with us. That even though sometimes it takes us a long time to learn the lessons and get the messages that you would have us hear, you bear with us with a love that is patient and kind and hopeful and eternal. Help us to be so with others, with our family and our friends, with our co-workers, with our enemies and those we are at odds or in disagreements with. To see them from your perspective. Gain a sense of what you are doing in all of our lives. Help us to take the opportunities you give us to become patient, to learn from them, to grow through them, so that we can be the kind of people that we want to be, the kind of people you created and called us to.